Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and to pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions, as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. I want to talk to you for a moment on the subject, the secret to the prayer of faith. There are very few people that actually learn the power of the prayer of faith. Some people pray, some people have faith, but the prayer of faith is a whole other level. It is a creative level. When you get to the prayer of faith, you can create healing, you can create salvation, you can create joy, you can create wealth. It is an amazing thing that God has enabled us to do, if we are able to discover its secret. You may be seated. Faith gives us a tremendous advantage that the normal people do not have. When the Bible talks about prayer, it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's not blasé. That's not occasional. That's not just praying over your food. Effectual and fervent. That's somebody that is on fire with faith, that believe that God is going to intervene in their life. God is talking in this text about healing the sick, but that's not all. He's talking about displacing pain. He's talking about displacing suffering and disease by the prayer of faith, but just not success. Look what else God is addressing. Forgiving sin, faults, and even supernaturally affecting the weather. Pat Robertson of 700 Club, years ago, there was a hurricane bearing in on their property. And he claimed that he prayed the prayer of faith and that hurricane was diverted. He was mocked in the news. But I believe in that kind of power. The Bible says we can have it. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no end to what God will do in your life if you can get to the area where you can have the prayer of faith. There are all kinds of diverse kinds of miracles that are included in the prayer of faith. The Bible said all of these working that one and the selfsame spirit divided to every man severally as he will. It's God's spirit, but the same spirit that saved you. This is where we differ from many denominations. The same spirit that saved you can fill you. The same spirit that fills you can deliver you. The same spirit that delivers you can provide for you. God wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. And once you get into that realm of praying the prayer of faith, it can involve any kind of miracle that you can imagine. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. What does hearing affect? It affects your mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So faith is really thinking right. Right thinking. It's godly thinking, to get the mind of Christ. So wrong thinking is exactly the opposite. Wrong thinking is doubt. And the world generally thinks wrong. And when you buy into the philosophies of the world, you're actually moving out of the realm of faith. When we buy into anti-scriptural thought processes, they're faith killers. They take us out of the realm of possibility, out of the realm of divine intervention, out of the realm of miracles, and now we're just like everybody else. I'm going to share with you some controversial truth in the next moment or two. Controversial simply because most people don't believe it. That's what controversy is. It's what most people do not accept. Friend, I'm going to tell you, most people don't believe what I believe. I find my faith not in the philosophy of man and what is generally accepted by society. I find my faith in the Word of God. And the Word of God is a book of miracles. It is a book of supernatural concept. And you believe that God is, that God is greater than anything in this world, that God is able to intervene, that God is able to turn events, that God is able to interject His will and His hand in people's lives. Most people are not accessing God's miraculous power. They live out that realm. I don't want to be like most people. I want to be able to pray the prayer of faith in any situation. And regardless of the report that I get, I want to be able to say, whose report am I going to believe? That's the report of the banker, the lawyer, the doctor. That's the report of generic society. But I am going to believe the report of the Lord. And I'm going to stand isolated alone and embrace what God says and let God work miracles in my life. Faith destroying concepts. This is the first one. I hear this all the time. I not only hear it after a hurricane on the news and the trailer has blown away. I hear it from pulpits in America. I hear it in this congregation when I'm talking to people. I read it all the time on social media, and it's simply not true. That everything that happens on earth is God's will. That's simply not true. And as long as you embrace that concept, it will keep you at very low levels of faith. Because if everything that happens is God's will, then why do we seek the face of God? Why do we even bother to pray? The Bible teaches us that when Jesus taught us to pray, he told us to pray this way. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The indication is that there is something being done on earth that is not the will of God. And that we as people of God can pray and we can change what's happening on earth, that it won't just be happening, but it will become the will of God being manifest on earth. If there were true that the will of God was and everything that happened was the will of God, why would Jesus pray and instruct us to pray for God's will to be done on earth? It would be predestined. There would be no need to pray for that. Earthquakes, famines, wars, cancers, children being born horribly defined, all of that is a sign to God. No wonder there are so many people that are mad at God, angry at God, agnostic, atheist. They say, well, you know, God does all of this. He sends the hurricane. He sends the earthquake. He sends the tornado. He caused my child to be born with abnormalities. That is not the will of God. Certainly not. To believe that God is predestined to evil is to malign the very character of God. To believe that God is predestined to evil is to say God is less than good. God is less than love. God is less than perfect. It shackles your faith to buy into that. And the second thing is, people say this all the time. They say it to me sometimes, and I cringe. Well, you know, everything happens for a purpose. That's absolutely not true. There's all kinds of things that happen that do not happen for a purpose. But most people believe that. Listen to this. Eventually, all things fall into place. Until then, laugh at the confusion. Live for the moments. And know everything happens for a reason. That wasn't a dummy said that. That was Albert Schweitzer, a brilliant, brilliant man. It doesn't matter how bright people are, what their IQ is, if their concepts are different from the Word of God, I'm going to divorce myself from them, and I'm going to embrace what God said. And so this brilliant mind said this. What about this? I believe that everything happens for a reason. People change so you can learn to let go. Things go wrong so that you appreciate them when they're right. You believe lies so you can eventually learn to trust no one but yourself. And sometimes good things fall apart so better things can fall together. That's Marilyn Monroe. That's what she believed. Didn't work out too good for Marilyn. The Bible calls it believing a lie and being damned, according to the Apostle Paul. Listen to this. I trust that everything happens for a reason. Even if we're not wise enough to see it. That's Oprah Winfrey's concept. Someday, everything will make sense. So for now, laugh at the confusion, smile through the tears, be strong and keep reminding yourself that everything happens for a reason. That's John Mayer. Does the Bible say that all things work together for everyone? It does not say that, but I hear it all the time. The Bible does say this, and we know all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that who are the called according to his purpose. This verse is not for the general public. Most things do not work good for the general public. In fact, most things work bad. The Bible said, Job said, that this earth that we live on is under a curse. And he said, It's a few days and full of trouble. That's the way most people live. I choose to step out from the crowd. I'm not most people. I'm not the general public. I'm the one man at the pool that says, I believe that I can be made whole. Everybody else stayed sick, but one man stepped out from the crowd. That's what we're appealing to. We're not asking you to conform to society. We're asking you to conform to His divine image. We're asking you to conform to the Word of God. We're asking you to be the one person that says, that's not right. This is not the will of God. It's not the will of God for me to be sick. It's not the will of God for me to be broke. It's not the will of God for me to live in fear. Well, these things are happening for a purpose. No, they're not. It is absolutely because there is an adverse spirit in this world. It's called demonic. It's called the devil. And Jesus Christ came to destroy that, and He defines that very clearly in John 10 and 10. But you are to have faith. You're to become people of faith. When you get born again, there is with that a spirit of faith that comes in you, a measure of faith. But then you take the Word of God and you begin to feed that measure of faith. And if you are 20 years old in the Lord, your faith ought to be 20 years down the road than it was the day you got saved. You ought to be stronger in faith. You don't get saved and sit down and say, well, now I understand and I'm just going to let what happens happen. No, I'm not. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith, and I am going to realize that I am who God said I am. Those that love God, all things will work for good. Those that are called according to His purpose, all things will work God. It has to be reconciled with this. But as you thought evil against me, but God meant it to good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. There is a real enemy of man. There's a real enemy of God. He thinks evil against us, but when we become people of faith, what the devil means for evil, we have the prayer of faith, and God can turn that thing that is evil and turn it to God. God has to intervene. You can't just sit back and say, well, everything has a purpose. All things are God's will. That's simply not true. You've got to get involved with this. The Bible said that when Gideon had the great revival in his land and the great victory, the Bible said it this way, and the enemy was destroyed by the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. The hand of the Lord and the hand of Gideon. Mankind has sacrificed his God-given dominion to Satan through sin. But Jesus Christ won it back, and He has now delivered it to us, but we must accept it and declare it. We must have dominion like the Bible said we could. The good things have to be worked. They don't just randomly fall in place. What life, with faith, you can rearrange the elements of life. You don't have to accept what it happens to you. You can rearrange them because you've got faith in God. And God has made that power available to us. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is proof that God has made that available to us. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spoke He of the Spirit after the Holy Ghost was given. When you get filled with God's Spirit, there is now a force in you that says, this is not the will of God that's happening, and so I'm going to make this situation conform to God's will. God's will is always good. God's will is always yes. God's will is always amen. God's will is always perfection. God's will is always power. God's will is always deliverance. God's will is always deliverance. God's will is always healing. As long as you say, well, it's the will of God for me to be sick, you can't pray the prayer of faith. As long as you say, well, it's the will of God for me to be poor, so I'll trust God, you can't expect to have wealth. When you buy into that philosophy that everything is the will of God, your life is going to be a mess. You've got to realize that God placed you on this earth. He created you in His image. He gave you the ability to be conformed to that divine image. He will give you the mind of Christ. He will empower you with the Holy Spirit. He will give you the Word of God for a roadmap that you might be victorious in all things. They don't just mystically fall in place to fulfill the will of God. You've got to take a role in this. You've got to get involved. For most people, the will of God is seldom fulfilled in their life. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, they willingly are ignorant. Most people are willingly ignorant. They'll study all kinds of things in school. They'll get degrees and PhDs. They will apply themselves in trades, but they're willfully ignorant of the Word of God. Friend, I'm going to tell you, Pastor Brandon used to say, he said, you can marry more money in a second than you can earn in a lifetime. Well, let me tell you this. You can find more wisdom in the Word of God in a moment, in a revelation of God's Spirit, than you can stand in studying for 16 years in secular school to study the Word of God. To say, I'm not going to be willfully ignorant of God's principles, but I'm going to embrace them. I'm going to become a real person of faith, and I'm going to learn to pray the prayer of faith because I'm going to understand that God has given me that power and I can change my destiny by learning how to pray the prayer of faith. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish. That's not the will of God, but people are perishing every day. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust just alike. But now here's the story of Elijah in the text. It was raining and not raining on the unjust and the just alike. But the Bible said suddenly Elijah prayed the prayer of faith. What I find is my favorite part of that entire passage where it talks about Elijah closing up the heavens and opening up the heavens and changing the destiny not of himself but only but Israel. You know what I like about it? It's that in Elijah was a man of like passions as we. I love that verse. That puts me in the game. That takes me off the bench. It tells me that I can be an Elijah in my lifetime because my passions are not the limitations in my life. It is my lack of faith that is the limitation. Elijah, I've said it before, he's the first bipolar man in the Bible. One moment he is celebrating, and the next moment he's sitting under a juniper tree saying, God, let me die. He was highly bipolar. But friend, I'm going to tell you that the devil wants to point out your weakness and say that's the reason why you can't pray the prayer of faith. You're not basing the prayer of faith on your perfection or on your performance or on your personality or upon your intellect. You're basing your prayer of faith on your God. And my God is able. That's the reason why we have to understand the concept of Christ coming and taking our sins and giving us his righteousness. You can't become a person that prays the prayer of faith if you're trying to pray on self-righteousness. Because I'm going to tell the devil's got a memory like an elephant. And when you try to pray the prayer of faith, if you don't understand that you are like Elijah with a man of like passions, he'll bring up your weakness. He'll bring up your failure. He'll bring up your omission of sin or your commission of sin, and it will destroy your prayer of faith. But you recognize that I am what I am, not but my flesh, but praise God, I am what I am by the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we come into God's house and praise like we do, because we're saved by grace. We're saved by the power of the living God. We've been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this flesh is not holding us prisoner. Now we're holding our flesh prisoner and say, faith, you're going to do this. You're going to go to the house of God instead of putting yourself in the lazy boy. I read on Facebook, somebody said, I did a little mechanical work this week. That I put a rear end in a lazy boy. You get it later. The devil wants you to sit around in a lazy boy while the work of God is going on. But God wants you to get involved. Your flesh will keep you at home. Your flesh will put you on the sideline. Your flesh will say you're not important. Your flesh will say you cannot. Though your flesh is a lying enemy, you are made in the image of Almighty God. And your like passions do not limit you. It's simply your lack of faith. God is looking for people that will stand up and say, God is going to use me. Not because of me, but in spite of me. I am able to pray the prayer of faith. Elijah was not a superhuman. He was a man of like passions. And because of television, we watch somebody like T.D. Jakes, Kenneth Copeland. We watch these men and say, those are superhuman people. If you lived with them day by day, you would find that they are amazingly like you. They are simply people that have locked in on faith, and God is doing big things in your life. Don't let your like passions limit you. Begin to confess, I am a man of faith. I believe that God is. I believe that God is able. I don't believe that God has changed. I don't believe that God has limited his power. I don't believe that God has denied access to this generation. I believe that we can storm the gates of heaven. I believe we can pray and God will answer. I believe God still works miracles. I believe God is still able to heal. I believe God still makes a way where there is no way. I believe God still makes something out of nothing. I believe God is a creator, and I believe that he will use the word of faith in me to create things in my life. And so I'm not going to succumb to my like passions. I'm going to declare I'm made in the image of Almighty God. I have been recreated now through the redemption of his dear son. I am a devil chaser. I am a sin killer. I am a sickness healer, praise God, because God has put in me the power of the living God, and I am going to pray the prayer of faith. Prepare the faith. Prepare yourself. God is going to use you. Most people believe destructive thoughts, and so consequently, they're never able to pray the prayer of faith. But you've got to divorce yourself from philosophies that reject God's intervention in your life. Faith-killing philosophies generally accepted by most kind. The Bible said, refuse profane and old wives' table, wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. I hear people say, you know, God is my pilot. I hear people say, you know, it used to be an old song, I've turned the steering wheel over to God. We used to do it in crusades called Holy Rollers, and now I'm in the back seat and God's driving my car. That's simply not true. God is not your pilot, and God is not your driver. You're the pilot, and you're the driver. God is your navigator. Navigators are very, very important. It's their job to make sure you get the plane from point A to point B. It's to make sure that that plane is intact, to make sure you've got enough fuel for your journey. They have all their maps, but God is doing the very same thing. He is not going to pilot your life, but he will navigate your life for you. God will tell you what to do, but if you reject your navigator's information, you are a fool and you're headed for a hillside collision. You've got to hear what God says. You've got to realize that God is on your side and God will never, ever give you bad information. God gives you information that will cause you to succeed in everything, but you've got to have faith enough to believe it and receive it. And when you do, my friend, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. No sickness against you is going to kill you and take you out, because you are a person that is able to pray the prayer of faith. And suddenly those things that need to be shut up are shut up. Those things that need to be opened are opened up, because you know how to pray the prayer of faith. Hallelujah. When I was a young guy, I was preaching in Miami, Florida. Preach every night. Nothing to do much in the daytime. And so I said to Becky, we were just married a year or two, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get my pilot license. And so I went out to the airport, and I found me a school there, and I found a great pilot. And so I began to take my lesson. I got all my paperwork done, and then I started doing all of my flying. And it was so much fun. I'd go with that pilot every day. He'd teach me this and teach me that. Oh, it was just great. One day he got in and he said, all right, Steve. He said, this is my posture today. I will not touch one instrument in this plane regardless of what happens. He said, we're either going to fly or we're going to crash according to your ability. And I remember I was taking off one time. I was doing touch and goes. I was taking off. And I remember him saying just so quietly, he said, your nose, we're going to stall. Just that quietly. Man, I made that adjustment. I don't sweat much. I've got some friends, they just sweat so much. I just don't sweat much. Friend, believe me, I was sweating. Man, it's just rolled off of me. we went through those touch and goes, and it was just torturous because he would not do anything to help me except verbally he was giving me what I need to do. And we got back and set that plane down. He said, I was going every day. He said, all right, tomorrow you're going to solo. And that's where you're wrong. I said, look at me, sir. He was so disappointed. I said, you'll never see me again. That ended my flying career right then. He said, why don't you want to solo? I said, you can't believe how many mistakes that I make driving a car, but I can correct those. If I make those same mistakes in this plane by myself, it's over, buddy. I'm not coming back. I'm not cut out to be a pilot. I just didn't have the nerve for it. I didn't have the gut. I didn't trust myself. And there's a lot of people like that spiritually. At some point in time, you've got to be able to trust God and say, what God told me is going to work. I was flying from San Antonio to Houston. We'd just taken off, and the guy beside me, middle-aged guy, apparently it was his first time to fly. I mean, he went in panic mode. There was a little turbulence, and man, back in those days, I was flying two or three times a week, and so I began to console him, began to explain to him it's going to be all right. And he said, would you please shut up? He said, I'm a commercial pilot. That's what I do for a living. But he said, I can't stand it when I'm not in control. He said, I'm not a good passenger. Friend, I want to tell you, at some point, you've got to get so much faith in God that you don't shake and you don't tremble. You say, God's word is true. God's word will not return void. I don't care what they said. I don't care what hundreds of thousands of people are doing. Do you have enough faith to stand against the crowd? You understand the multitude is generally wrong? You understand the multitude is generally wrong? That's what always scares me about elections. The multitude is usually wrong. According to that concept, we usually elect the wrong person in office because the multitudes are usually wrong, and particularly about spiritual things. Friend, I'm going to stand against the multitude and say whatever the Word of God says. And when you get that kind of faith, things begin to happen in your life. I was just driving along yesterday praising God for the blessings in my life and recognizing to the Lord out loud, I'm not the smartest guy I know. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm not the best educated, but I don't know many people that are more blessed than I am. It must be for one reason. It's because I've got faith in God that when there is no way, God will make a way. When there is no answer, God is the answer. I believe I can pray the prayer of faith. Somebody called me the other day, a pastor's wife, and said, can you come and pray for me? It's been a long drive. She said, because you've prayed for me three times in my life, and I've got healed every time you've prayed, and I need a miracle in my life. You know, that's the greatest compliment that I could be afforded, that somebody believes that I can pray the prayer of faith. And it encourages me because I do believe that I can pray the prayer of faith. I can pray the prayer of faith and suddenly things that are impossible become possible. Things that are no are suddenly yes. Things that are wrong are suddenly yes. And praise God, God is able to do them. I'm not going to buy into this thing when I see bad things. Well, this is the will of God. I've just got to sit down and endure it. No, I don't. I'm going to stand up and speak the word of faith and praise God. I'm going to be like Elijah. Go out and see what you can see. And I would say to this church today, I would like for you to look and see what you see. And somebody says, I don't see anything. And Elijah said to his servant, go back again. He came back and said, I don't see anything. He did this for seven times. I don't see anything. On that seventh time, Elijah said, do you see anything? He said, not much. He said, I see a cloud as a man's hand. There's a reason why the Bible said it that way. He wanted you to understand that your hand must be with God's hand to perform in your life. You can't be a person of doubt and believe that God is going to intervene. You can't be a negative confessor and believe that God is going to work a miracle. You can't kindly confess, well, all things work for a purpose, and this is the will of God, and that's just the way it is. You've got to become a person of faith and say, God has gloriously saved me, and so I can change destiny. I can rearrange things. I don't have to accept this. I know what the doctor said, but I know that God is able. I know what the banker said, but my God is a provider. I know what the preacher says, but I'm going to be saved. In L.A., in a great revival there, there was a guy that was renowned from Thailand. He'd been a missionary to Thailand. He'd seen hundreds of thousands of people saved. A woman came down and stood in front of him, and they said for her, said she wants the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, raise your hand. She didn't raise her hand. He said, well, say so-and-so. She didn't say so-and-so. And finally, he got real angry at her, and he said, you'll never receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You'll never receive it. About that time, she threw up her hands, and God baptized her with the Holy Spirit. He looked at the guy and said, take me to the airport. I thought I was a prophet. I'm a liar. Friend, it doesn't matter what preacher tells you, you can't receive it. There is something greater than a preacher's voice, and that is the word of faith. That is the prayer of faith, saying, my God said it's mine and nobody can deprive me. There's not one person in this world that can deprive you of the blessing of Almighty God. You need to stand up in faith and say, in the name of Jesus, I proclaim my family is saved. I proclaim my body is healed. I proclaim I've got a job. I proclaim my wealth is coming to me. I proclaim my sins are forgiven. I proclaim I'm above and not beneath. I'm an overcomer. Friend, I want to tell you that it doesn't matter what anybody says. I don't see anything. Oh, I see a cloud as a man's hand. And I'm telling you, it's getting ready to rain like it's never rained before. There are some people that have given up on this world and said it's all going to hell in a handbasket. Ladies and gentlemen, I serve a God that saw the end from the beginning, and he tells me that the latter end is greater than the former beginning. I tell you, there is going to be a restoration. There's going to be a revival. There's going to be a declaring of God's name. Good things are coming to America. Good things are coming to this world. Good things are coming to this church. Good things are coming to you. All we need is people that say, I will not take no for an answer. I won't accept badness as the will of God. I won't declare that all things happen for a purpose. I will interrupt it all with the prayer of faith and say, I'm going to turn this thing around. I'm going to change this thing. My grandchildren are not going to be lost. They're going to be saved. In the name of the Lord Jesus, do you understand the prayer of faith depends on you to stand up and stand on the promises of God and say, God is good all the time. If it's bad, it didn't come from God. He's a good God. If it's ugly, it didn't come from God. He's altogether lovely. I said, the Lord is on your side. He's fought devils, and now he's fighting for you that you will have faith that says today, in the name of Jesus. We had a man sat on the back seat of the church with a brain tumor. Didn't even come to the front. And when he went to the doctor the next day, he said, I felt it while you were preaching, that warmness come over my head. And the doctor said, I don't know what's happened since you were here last time, but that tumor is gone. It's called the word of faith. It's called the prayer of faith. I'm telling you, I'm sending faith out right now. There's somebody in this building that's getting healed right now. Somebody in this building is getting their marriage reconciled right now. Somebody's getting a job. Somebody's getting a financial blessing. Somebody's having revival in their life. Somebody's having a miracle in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the power of God here. There's healing in this room right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody thought they were going to get fired. You're going to get a promotion. You're not going to get fired. Why? Because you can pray the prayer of faith. You can pray the prayer of faith. You can turn things around. You can change things. I simply will not take no for an answer. I don't believe bad things are the will of God. I don't believe negative things are happening for a purpose. I believe there is a devil that I have been given power over because Jesus Christ defeated him at Calvary and when he got out of that grave. And so when it comes in like a flood, the devil comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord raised the standard in my behalf. I'm not going to be sick. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be bipolar. I'm not going to be broke. I'm going to be wealthy. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be filled with joy. I'm going to be redeemed. I'm going to be the mighty recreation of Almighty God. If you're in this building right now,